Good morning.
Good morning.
Every time I go to annual conference, they open every meeting with good morning, church, or hello, church. Because we are the church. So, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is so great to be here. And before I came, I checked my church mailbox. And I had a lot of flyers and mail, but there was one envelope that was addressed to PCUNC. And in that envelope, there were some letters, and they were handwritten, but they're in Greek. But you know what? I had a lot of good translations. They were from Apostle Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus. And in the very ancient manuscripts, these letters were not addressed to Ephesus. They were meant to be passed around. Can you believe that they survived and copies of them are in our mailbox? That's just wonderful. And they were written when Paul was a prisoner on the island of Patmos. And if you were to look at the island of Patmos today, it's a tourist center. But when Paul was in prison there, this is known as a prison epistle, he was in prison for teaching about Christ. And it was just a barren rock. If you've ever looked at a picture or toured Alcatraz, I can imagine that that's what it looked like when Paul was there. In the letter, he says, "Grace to us and greetings from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And the letter is addressed to the saints, us. We are the saints, just ordinary people, garden variety, run of the mill, all ages and stages. It's addressed to us, and he tells us the joyful truth that we've been set apart to spread the good news of Christ. Now, at the conference I mentioned, Bishop Carter said that there was a well-known musician that was a friend of his. And whenever he was going to play, he looked out at his audience and he said, "I see a lot of drugged people here. You were drugged here to hear me." Well, I know none of us were drugged here because we're all faithful in Christ. But we must all work together. And when I was preparing this, it made me think of the old song that the kids sang. You know, the song where the foot bone's connected to the shin bone to the hip bone, and it goes on up the hip bone to the back bone, to the neck bone, to the head bone. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. So we do all have to work together just as our body works together. Now, when Paul wrote this letter, there were many evil things going on. And one of them was the temple of Diana, and they worshiped idols. Well, we don't have a temple of Diana. Not one I'm aware of, but we do worship some idols. Some things become really important to us, maybe other than God. We worship sports. We worship money, cars. I'm sure there are many, many other things that get in our way sometime, but we really need to not let them. I was telling my friend that I was going to preach on the book of Ephesians, and she said, "I love Ephesians." Well, I do too, but how do you choose? It's six great chapters, and how do you choose which one? Pastor Kevin asked me several months ago if I would do this, and I said, "Yes, and I know what I'm going to preach on." And then I went to the annual conference, and the bishop preached on Ephesians. And then I went to the Bible study that Kathy was talking about, and our very first lesson in studying Revelation was studying Ephesians. So what I'm going to try to do is to just give you some highlights of the chapters until we get to my favorite chapter, chapter 6. In chapter 1, Paul tells us that we're chosen. We're chosen in love. We're chosen by God. We're given the richest blessings. We are chosen. Just imagine that. And we're adopted through Jesus Christ, redeemed through His blood, and sealed with His Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 2, we know that we're given life from death. But a wonderful thing is that by grace are we saved. Not through good works. Although we do good works because we are saved by grace. But once we accept the Lord as our Savior, all our sins, all our trespasses are dead. They're totally away. So we're made one. And we're saved by grace through faith. Then we move to chapter 3. And it talks about the family of God, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, in this is also a new revelation. In the Greek language, the word mystery meant an unveiled truth. And even though way back in the Old Testament in Isaiah, it spoke of an apostle to the Gentiles, it didn't really name who that was. But in chapter three, we learn that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. He's preaching to the Gentiles. He preaches to the Jews as well, women and men. He preaches to everyone so that God might be known. And we are a loving family, rooted and grounded in love. Now, we shouldn't be afraid to talk to God. He wants to hear from us. He's waiting for us to talk to Him. We have to have strength in the Spirit and give thanks. And Pastor Kevin is always telling us that we don't need any pew setters. We need to commit ourselves to God. So when we go on to chapter 4, we learn about a united family, united in God. One body, one spirit, one love, one Lord, one mind, one God and Father. We're united in love. Now, Jesus united us through His dying on the cross, and it's up to us to maintain it, to keep it going. There was a young father, or the father wasn't that young, but his daughter was a young adult, and they were taking a drive together. And she had been to a retreat like many of us here have. And out of the blue, she said, "Dad, you know that retreat that I went to several months ago?" He said, "Yes, I remember." She said, "Well, it's wearing off." So we don't want it to wear off. We need to strive every day to keep it going so it doesn't wear off. And we do that by our faith. Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, let us grow into every way into Him who is the head, Christ." And chapter 5 talks about love, light, and wisdom. Love that is pure. And wisdom, we walk with care. And we need to walk in light. Be a beacon. Let your light shine. Now, when I was much younger, I loved Vacation Bible School. We had 2 weeks of Bible school every year, was the highlight of my summer. And I even love Vacation Bible School now. But when we moved away from my home state, we had 2 children then, my children, one of them sitting out there today, always wanted to take vacation so they could go to Grandma's church for vacation Bible school. It was a big, big part of our lives. So this year, when we helped with vacation Bible school at Espanola, each class had to perform or give a skit for the assembly. And the little teeny ones, the 4 and 5 years old, that sang, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bush, oh no, I'm gonna let it shine." And that's what we need to do. Be a beacon. Let our light shine. Let everyone know by our walk in light, love, and wisdom that we are a Christian. Now, several weeks ago, Reverend Waters preached about the fruits of the Spirit. And then a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Kevin mentioned them as well. And that made me think of another Bible school. In fact, last service, some of the young people were here that actually made what I'm going to show you. They're now in the 9th and 10th grade. They were in the 3rd and 4th grade then. And we studied about fruits of the Spirit. And we sang a song and performed it. And I just brought a few of them. The fruit of the Spirit is not a banana, so you may as well hear it. And the fruit of the Spirit is not a cherry, so you may as well hear it. And the fruit of the Spirit is not a watermelon, so you may as well hear it. There are many more of these, but we all know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we have to show the fruits of the Spirit. And we get to my favorite chapter of Ephesians, chapter 6. And I want to read, you've got on the back of your bulletin, two translations of Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. I'm going to read the one from the Message. A fight to the finish, and that about wraps it up. God is strong, and He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now this chapter is about putting on the armor of God and standing firm in the armor of God. The first commandment is to honor your father and mother, and you'll live well on the earth. We need to be Christ-likeness in our service. I said before, we need not be a pew sitter, but it reminded me also of a trip I took to Jamaica. And we were going down to just a little village shopping area, just outdoor stands. And this young boy insisted he wanted to be my guide. And I said, well, I really don't need a guide because I'm just looking. He said, oh, you're eye shopping. So we don't need to be a pew setter or an eye shopper. We need to put on the armor of God. Now, the helmet of salvation, when the soldiers wore that, it was to protect their brain. But our helmet of salvation is Jesus. Lasting protection. And then they had a breastplate that protected all of their vital organs. We have that too. We have righteousness from our Savior. And then the sword of the Spirit. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the Bible. We have the Word of God, which is our sword. And the belt of truth, that can only be found in Jesus. And the shield of faith, that lets us go forth boldly. Now, the soldiers wore very heavy shoes. They had to be firmly grounded to hold up all this heavy armor and things that they had on. We have the shoes because our faith is built on a firm foundation, the solid rock of Jesus. And when I was growing up, every week we had a sword drill, and it was to learn to use the Bible. We still need to know how to use the Bible, even with our iPhones, our iPads, all the electronics. We need to know how to use the Bible. So I was really pleased in the curriculum of the Bible school this year that we had a sword drill every day. And so every class, we taught them about the Bible. And it was attention, draw swords, get ready, and then we would read a Bible verse. And we would read it again and say, go. And when they found it, they stepped forward. And the boys played the girls. I don't think there was really a winner. But we had great fun. And it was a great learning experience, even learning that the Bible is our sword, the Word of God. Now, we studied famous leaders of the Bible. We had Gideon, Daniel, David, Esther. And the fifth day, well, we had a wall of fame. We had put them up on the board. And the fifth day, our famous leader was the most famous of all, Jesus. So I wanted to tell them a story that would really grab them and really make them understand. In the last class of the day were the fifth and sixth graders, 42 of them. And I was going to tell them a story, which I'm going to tell you, about a father and son, and the son was going to Vietnam. So I needed to set the stage so that they would understand what the draft was and what Vietnam was. So when I'm setting the stage, explaining this to them, I said, my brother was drafted when he was a senior in college, and he went to Vietnam as a helicopter pilot and was shot down 7 times. And then I told them this story. There, which is a true story. There was a father and son who loved to collect art, all types of art, pictures, artifacts, statues. They had the money to do this, and it was their passion, and they really enjoyed it. And the son was drafted and had to go to Vietnam. And he was there about 6 months, and the father got a notice that he had been killed in action. And of course he was devastated. But about a year later, there was a knock on the door, and he answered it, and it was not anyone he knew. And this young man had a package under his arm. And he said, I was with your son in Vietnam. May I come in? And the father let him in, and he said, I was the person that your son was carrying to safety when he was hit and killed. And he said, I have painted this picture of him, and I would like for you to have it. And of course, the father was thrilled, and he opened it, and he hung it in a place of honor. And it remained there until his death. And he had quite an extensive, valuable art collection. So he had made arrangements with an auction house to come and auction all of the pieces of art. And the first piece that was put up for auction was the picture of his son. And everybody said, oh, we don't want that, we don't want that, get on to the good stuff. And the auctioneer said, my instructions are to auction this piece first. And he kept trying to get somebody to bid on it, $100, $50. And finally this man, way in the back, who had tended to the house and the grounds for years, said, I'll give you $10. And the auctioneer said, it's worth way more than that. Can't somebody go higher? And the man said, that's all I have. And he said, sold, to the man in the back for $10. And so the crowd said, okay, okay, get on with it, get on with it. And the auctioneer said, the auction is over. What do you mean it's over? My instructions were that whoever took my son got everything. All the artwork, all the everything, just like God gave his son to us. And I could tell that it had really touched the children, and they really understood. And then this little girl, way in the back, raised her hand, and she said, did your brother come home from Vietnam? Was he all right? And I said, well, thank you so much for asking. Yes, he did. And then this little boy on the other side raised his hand and he said, that's because God's not finished with him yet. It still gives me chills. God's not finished with any of us. We all need to put on the armor of God. And we need to walk Christ-like because he still has lots for us to do and we have lots to give. And on behalf of Pastor Kevin, I extend to you, if you would like to be a part of our church family, we would welcome you to come walk in the armor of God because he is not finished with us yet. Amen.